Father, closest friend, most beautiful, most beautiful.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. How lovely it is for us to come together and dwell in the house of the Lord. Even as the day approaches, as the time draws near of our Lord and Savior coming, that we should meet even more frequently, that we should have hope and expectation, and that we should set our hopes and our eyes on the fact that, hey, look, it won't always be like this. Amen. That one day it's going to be so awesome and so incredible and so, I mean, mesmerizing. And I had a dream. It has nothing to do with what I'm speaking about tonight. But I had a dream last night. It's just so amazing. I dreamed I got raptured up, and my body was lifting, and I'm seeing people being left behind. But then I see thousands and thousands of believers ascending into the sky to be with the Lord. And I tell you, it was the most awesome thing. Like, though you're weeping for just a season of sadness, but then you're just so excited and so overwhelmed to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's something to look forward to. I mean, it's something to put our hope in. It's something to put our trust in. And amen. So today, the title of this one is called Switch It Up. Switch It Up. And I got the title actually from a Christian rap song by Lecrae. He has a song called Switch It Up, and I think it was inspiring enough to my life to make it a part of our sermon this morning. Amen. So there's some good Christian rap out there. You have to watch yourself, but I mean, there's some good Christian rap. Anyway, so last week my wife, she talked about getting the things out of our lives that we needed to get out of our lives, and we had a little fire pit going on, and we were able to burn some of those things. You wrote those things down. You were able to burn some of those things you want out of your life, because we believe that God is a holy and righteous God, right? And sin separates us from a holy and perfect and righteous God. And so as the day approaches, we want to be even more vigilant about making sure that we are holy before the Lord, that we are right before the Lord, getting those things out. But how many of you guys know that once you take those things out, you have to put something back in its place, right? Amen. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. And so we're in April 4th, 1997. That was a long time ago, almost 25 years ago. That's the day whenever I gave my heart to the Lord. Almost 25 years next month. And so I'm so excited. But in that moment, there were some things I had to get rid of. There were some sins that I had accumulated, even at the age of 17 years old, that I had to surrender to the Lord. I had to take those things out, because pastor wasn't always a pastor, right? Pastor used to be a pretty heathenistic person, if you will. I followed the lust of my flesh and followed the lust of my eyes. I had some serious issues in my life. You know, I was rebellious. Anybody was rebellious whenever you were growing up? And if you're a kid in this place and you're not raising your hand, you're lying, so therefore you're rebellious and a liar. You need to repent at the end of the service, amen. So I was rebellious. I was filled with hatred, filled with lust. I was a thief. I was a liar. I mean, I stole things before. I stole cigarettes. I had a nicotine addiction. I'm talking about the age of 17 years old, smoking a pack a day. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And so I had some issues in my life. And so and I was just full of hatred is another thing, just hated people for no real reason. And so whenever the Lord got a hold of my heart, and again, it was his goodness that drew me to repentance, that April 4th, 1997. It was Ron Luce. He was given an Acquire the Fire youth convention, and I heard the message, and I don't even know what he spoke about, but I knew that I had to get right with the Lord, and I knew that that was the day of salvation for me. And for me, it was a switch. I switched it up. You know, like, it doesn't always happen like this. I know that. But the Lord completely removed all of those things out of my life. And so I switched it up. Whereas before I was a thief, I became a giver. I switched it up. Whereas before I was a nicotine addict, now I'm addicted to the presence of the Lord. I switched it up where I was full of hatred and I had to go mend those broken relationships that I had. I had to go to those bullies, those people that I bullied. I bullied people. I'm tiny, I'm scrawny, but I bullied people. And I had to go and make those things right. And I said, look, I'm sorry for bullying you. I'm sorry for the hurt that I've caused you. I had to switch up And so the words that I used to use for hatred, I had to use for good and in building up others and edifying others. I had to make a switch. My coarse joking and you know, sinfulness and just disgustingness, I had to switch it up to edification and building up others. I had to make a switch. Amen. And so it is whenever we come to the Lord, we got to switch it up. Amen. We can't continue to live in the same sinful patterns that we have developed over time. We got to switch it up. Now, our story today, besides my story, there's a story in the Bible of a man who had to make a switch, who had to switch it up. He had to switch up the way that he was living, and he had to switch it up to something that was good. And that story is found in the book of Luke chapter 19. But before I get into that, I'd just like to read one passage from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You want to know how to worship God? You want to know how to live a life that is pleasing unto Him and that is honorable unto Him? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means you must die daily to those selfish desires that you have. You have to switch up those patterns, those sinful patterns that you have developed over time. You got to switch it up. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many guys don't want just, or you want the perfect will of God for your life? You want what God wants for your life. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to learn to switch it up. Our story today is about a man named Zacchaeus. You guys remember Zacchaeus? All right. And so at the end of service, we're going to have a little something to give you guys to remember the story of Zacchaeus. And so if you want a tree, we have a couple of trees available in Hope Cafe over here. So just make your way and just go pick up a tree, right? We're giving those away? Yeah, for free. I just want to make sure before I said that. I'm like, hey, I'm giving away trees. Oh, nope, not really. Sorry. No, we are giving away trees. Go ahead and grab yourself a tree if you want that. Anyway, Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it says, he entered Jericho. This is Jesus. He's entering Jericho. Now, interesting about Jericho, this was one of the first cities that God had, that the Israelites were crossing over the Jordan River, and Jericho was doomed. It was set apart for the Lord. It was to be destroyed. It was to be annihilated. And Joshua, after it is conquered, he says, look, I pronounce a curse over anyone who rebuilds this city, that their firstborn son would die. Nonetheless, we find that Jericho is rebuilt and that Jesus is purposely going through Jericho to meet with this man named Zacchaeus. That's interesting how Jesus is so intentional and that he will go after the one who is lost. And he sees young Zacchaeus and he's like, man, I see that he is wanting to know the truths of God's word and that he's not wanting to remain the way he is. I'm going to make my way through this city that was doomed to meet with Zacchaeus. That's the God that we serve. And he says in verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. How many guys love the IRS, right? Not a whole lot of people, but we should love them, right? Because we're Christians now. We're good boys now. We're good girls now. So we should love the IRS. I don't know how you love the IRS, but anyway. So anyway, he was not only a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. And so being a tax collector didn't make him sinful. Being rich did not make him sinful. But in that particular day, in that particular age, and probably even in our day, in our age, tax collectors would take above and beyond what was required of them from the Roman tax. And so they would take the extra money and they would pocket it. And so they're like, hey, man, I got this flat screen TV that I want. And so I need a little extra something, you know. So would so they would take from their fellow Jews and put it into their pockets. Of course, they didn't have flat screen TVs back then in that time. But you know what I'm saying? They would pocket the money and use it for their own gain. And so you can see why there was such an animosity between the Jews and tax collectors. Because they were Jews, but they were representing Rome. And they were stealing from their fellow man. So this is a problem. So not only is this guy, Zacchaeus, a tax collector, but he is the chief tax collector, which means he has people working for him. And that he was pretty good at what he did because the Bible says that he was rich. So he made a lot of money off of his fellow Jews. Now, we know that this is a pretty sinful attitude, as the Lord tells us that we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so if you're stealing from your neighbor, this is pretty sinful, right? This is breaking, you know, the commandments of the Lord when he instructed us to love our neighbor as himself. You know, later he's going to admit to this behavior, Zacchaeus. But we can see why no one liked tax collectors. In fact, even whenever Jesus is telling a parable in the chapter before, in chapter 18, he's saying this prayer that would come from like a Pharisee. And he says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. So he puts tax collectors right up there with adulterers and extortioners and all these. So they were hated. They were hated by many people. In this same parable, though, Jesus portrays the tax collector as someone who realizes that he is a sinful man. And in verse 13 of Luke 18, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so I believe that even this was, this happened in Luke 18. So this is almost like a precursor for Zacchaeus. Like, Zacchaeus, I see where you're at. I see that you're hated by many. I see that you're a chief tax collector. You're a sinful man. You've been robbing from your fellow Jews. But I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to Jericho because I see something in your heart. How many of you guys know that the Lord sees the intents of our heart? And so only the Lord, you know, you heard the expression, only God can judge me. And that is a fearful thing, that the Lord one day will judge you. You will stand before the Lord and you will give an account of your life. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Zacchaeus knew that he was a sinner. And I believe most people who are caught up in sin or caught up in sinful patterns know that they are sinners, know that what they are doing, this is wrong. This is not what I want to do. This is not how I want to spend my life. Whenever I was 17 years old and I was into those things, I knew that stealing was not a good thing. I had been taught, I grew up in church, that this is wrong, stealing is wrong, but yet I did it anyway. Zacchaeus knew that he was a sinful man. The great news for Zacchaeus, though, is that Jesus came to seek the lost. He came for those, even the worst of sinners, like me, like Zacchaeus. And he came specifically that day to Zacchaeus. In verse 3 of Luke chapter 19, it says, and as he was seeking to see who Jesus was, this is Zacchaeus, but on the account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Any vertically challenged people in the place today, you know what it's like to be in a crowd and you can't really see what's going on because, you know, it just, the Lord has not blessed you with the gift of height. And so this is Zacchaeus, like, man, I got to see Jesus. If there's anyone who can take away the guilt and the shame in my life, if there's anyone who could break the pattern of these sinful patterns that I've developed over time, it is Jesus. And I need to see Jesus. He's the only one. He is the Messiah. I believe I heard the messages that came to my ears. I believe that he is a good God. I believe that only he can make me whole. And so he has this curiosity. How many of you guys know that transformation of the heart begins with a curiosity to know Jesus? And we first must be curious about him. We must first hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear the word of God, and our hearts are curious. I want to know more. If he has the power to set me free, I want to be with Jesus. Perhaps he heard the parable that Jesus spoke about the rich man who was who had an issue with laying down his riches, and he walks away from Jesus not receiving salvation. But then Jesus also said in that parable, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So perhaps he said, you know what, if it's possible with God for a rich man to come to Jesus, if it's possible for a rich man to obtain salvation, I want in. I want in. I don't want to be like the other rich ruler. I want in. I want salvation. I want Jesus to deliver me from my sins. Isaiah 55:6 would say, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And Zacchaeus does just that. He begins to seek after the Lord. And I believe, first of all, that God draws us to him. But then there has to be a seeking on our part. We have to seek after the Lord, right? We have to surrender our will. We have to surrender. We have to declare that he is Lord over our lives. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Now, don't you know that the world is just like this? Like, we know that this man obviously had faith in Christ, where he went out and he sought Christ, and he was seeking Christ. He realized that he was a sinful man. He realized that the only one who had the answer to deliver him was Jesus. And Jesus says, Jesus sends the invitation, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I want to be at your house today. I want to dine with you. I mean, isn't that how salvation works? That he draws us in, he knocks on the door, he says, let me in. I'm knocking at the door of your heart, would you let me in? Zacchaeus comes down and he lets Jesus into his house. I believe at that moment, Zacchaeus was saved. And we're going to see proof in the next verse. But yet, the people around him said, I can't believe Jesus is going to the house of a sinner. Still labeling him according to his past, according to his past mistakes. Still trying to say, no, you are a sinner. Perhaps someone has used that against you before. Oh, you call yourself a Christian, but you are a sinner. Look at all the things that you've done in your life. How can you say that you love Jesus whenever you are a sinner? You're unclean. The world does the same thing today. They try to tear you down. They try to discredit the faith that you have, or with all the work that God has done in your heart. Verse 8, we know that he's a believer at this point, because in verse 8, the most amazing conversion happens. It says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, and behold, Lord. So first of all, he calls him Lord. All right. First of all, he says, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You know, for Zacchaeus to call him Lord means I'm surrendering to you. You now call the shots in my life. You are my Lord. And man, how many guys have made Jesus your Lord over your life? That he directs you and he leads you and he guides you. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. So unlike the rich man, the rich ruler in the previous chapter, he said, look, half of what I have, I'm just giving it away to the poor. That's true conversion right there. Because Jesus just said how hard it is, how difficult it is for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. But yet this man obviously receives salvation and says, I'm going to give it all away. I'm going to give half of my stuff away. And he says, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So Zacchaeus, he has some sinful patterns in his life. He was a manipulator, where he manipulated his fellow man out of money. He was a thief, where he stole from his fellow man. He was hated by all. No one really liked him. But now we see that after an encounter with Christ Jesus, after an encounter with the Messiah, that he begins to switch it up. He says, no longer will I steal. I used to steal and I used to be a thief. I'm going to switch it up and I'm going to now give to the poor. I'm not going to defraud anyone out of money anymore. I'm going to switch up the patterns of my life. And if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to make those things right. I'm going to switch it up. I'm not going to use my words to manipulate people anymore. I'm going to use it to make promises and vows that I will restore that which I've taken from you. I'm going to switch it up. I'm not going to be a man who is hated anymore. I'm going to strive to mend those broken relationships. Zacchaeus begins to switch it up. Amen? So what about your life? What about your life? Hopefully, you've received the Lord as your Lord and your Savior. And hopefully last week you were able to really get rid of some things and really make a cleaning in your life and cleanse it up, clean it up. What have you put back in? What have you put back in? You know, hopefully, you have the spiritual disciplines. You're reading the Word and you're praying and you're fasting and you're worshiping and all these things which are important, for Christians. But for some of us, we've had patterns in our life for so long that you're going to have to switch up those patterns. You're going to have to say, well, I've had this pattern for so long, but I need to switch it up. I need to replace that pattern with something else. So what does that look like in your life? Well, I'll give you another example from my life. I'm picking myself. I used to watch X-rated, R-rated movies, just with sexual content, violence, and all these different things. I have to switch it up. So now I watch sports and Disney, whatever my kids are watching on Disney, which sometimes is like, okay, let's turn that junk off too. But, you know, anyway, I have to switch it up, right? I have to switch it up, what I'm watching, what I'm allowing into my heart through my eyes and through my mind. You know, I've always heard this expression. I hope it will be helpful to you. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage into your mind, then eventually it goes into your heart. Garbage will eventually come out of your heart. And Jesus will say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Amen? And so we have to make sure we're not putting garbage into our lives. And so I had to switch it up. We got some preaching going on over here. All right, so I had to switch it up. I mean, you might have to switch up the movies that you're watching. You might have to switch up the music that you're watching. Let's talk about the music just for a second, right? I remember in my rebellious stage, I remember actually going to a neighbor of mine and saying, hey, look, I'm tired of listening to Christian garbage. Well, at that time, that's what I called it. Sorry. I called it Christian music. Give me something else. Give me something else. I remember doing that, making that switch from Christian stuff to secular stuff. Guess what? I had to switch it back. I had to say, you know what? I have to watch what I'm listening to. You know, and perhaps Christian music has come a long ways, by the way. And so if you're into rap, there's a Christian rap artist that you can listen to. If you're into rock, there's a few Christian rock artists you can listen to. Find something. Switch it up. Switch it up where you have a more positive message being spoken into your mind, which eventually gets into your heart. You got to switch up your music. You can't just continue to listen to Megadeth and Metallica and all these different things anymore. That's just sowing death into your life. Amen? And so you're going to have to switch it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, switch up your music. You might have to switch up your curse. You might have to switch up your cursing, right? You might have to switch up your words where before, like, the F-bomb just, like, flew out, you know, easily. You might have to find another word to replace that F-bomb, right? So you might have to say, okay, well, instead of saying this word, I'm going to use this word from now on, you know, faithfulness or whatever, right? You might have to switch up your cursing. You might have to switch up your idleness, finding a hobby or something, keeping yourself moving. Because the Bible says, you know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so as long as you are idle, as long as you are not doing anything, you're allowing the enemy just to sow garbage into your mind, and you're believing the lies of the enemy. You need to switch up your idleness for maybe a hobby or something, or get involved here at the church and you know, come cut grass or something. I don't know. You might have to replace your lying. Perhaps you're a perpetual liar. You lie all the time, and you're going to have to start switch it up. You're going to have to switch it up to speaking the truth so that you become a man or a woman of integrity. So whenever you say something, people actually believe what you are saying, right? Anybody have that one child that is just a perpetual liar, and you, like, tell the truth, right? Just speak the truth, right? She's like, I got one. Or you might have to, we're not calling names here. Anyway, and so what about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus switched it up from stealing. Perhaps you do have a stealing problem. You're going to have to switch it up to giving back, to give back everything that you stole. You have to go make it right with the Piggly Wiggly or the Walmart or wherever it is that you stole from, right? You got to make it right. You got to switch it up. What about certain friends that you hang around with? That's a big one. Who continually pour in garbage in your life, and you surround yourself with this garbage, and garbage is coming in, you have to switch it up and get some new friends. Turn to your neighbor and say, switch up your friends. You might have a hard time with watching the news because you get depressed, amen? And you get discouraged. You might have to switch it up and get a book, read a Christian book or something. You got to switch it up. You can't continue to do the same things over and over again and expect to get out the cycle that you've been in. Amen. That's the definition of insanity, to continue to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results. You got to switch it up. Amen. We're not insane people, right? We're radically saved. We might be radically saved, but we're not insane. Amen. So here's the reason why we should switch it up. Looking at Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45, and it says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty. When you look at that word empty and search it out, another word for that is unoccupied. Swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. So the devil is relentless in his attacks against you, and he can't stand the fact that you look like Christ in the earth, that you are a portrait of Christ. You are a demonstration of the love of God here on the earth, and he is out to destroy that very thing. And he's just because that you got rid of your stuff on Sunday, this past Sunday, doesn't mean that he's not going to come again and again and again and test you in that same area. Because he knows he had success in the past. What will you do so that he does not have success in the future? It says in Matthew that the evil spirit, when it leaves, that it's evicted, right? But then for a season, and then it comes back. And it brings with it seven more evil spirits than itself to afflict that person. A couple things. It says it may find that the house is clean because he hasn't been there. It may find that the house is put in order because that's what happens when you get the sin out. You start to put things back in order. But Satan must not find that your house is unoccupied. I'll say it again. Satan must not find that your house is unoccupied. Who needs to occupy your house? The Holy Spirit. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit each and every day. How many guys ever went to a portalet before? Right? And you see the little green sign that says occupied, and then you see the little red sign that says don't go in there. You don't want to go in there, right? Whenever you see that occupied sign, it says someone is in there and you have no business going in there. And the same is true if you are occupied by the presence of the living God, by the Holy Spirit, the devil has no reason to go inside of your place. You are occupied. He sees that sign and says, I'm not going in there. I know the power of Christ. I'm not messing with him. I'm not messing with her. You got to fill yourself up with the presence of God. You got to fill yourself up with the power of God. That's definitely has to happen. Yes, we need to switch up our patterns of sinfulness. But man, there's nothing more powerful that would help us to overcome the attacks of the enemy than the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be filled with his presence. We need to be filled daily with his presence. You know, if this applies even in our thought life. There are probably some things in your thought life that needs to go. You've been believing the lies of the enemy. You've been saying, you know, he's been saying you're such and such. You need to begin to evict him. Say, you're not welcome in my mind anymore. You're not welcome in my thought life. And I'm going to fill it. I'm going to renew it with the washing of the water of the word. The word of God is going to occupy my mind. The word of God is going to be first and foremost. And so whenever those evil thoughts come, it sees that it's occupied, right? It sees that my house is clean, yes. And my house is in order, yes. But it's occupied. You're not welcome here in my mind. And you're not welcome in my spirit, devil. So you have to go. And so you evict him, right? You evict him. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. I want to give you guys just a few more things that we can put into our lives, being that we're taking garbage out of our lives. And this is found in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. It says, put on then. And if you read like the few verses beforehand, it says, put off. In other words, there are things you need to put off, but then there are things you need to put on in place of those things you have put off. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So just to kind of recap on this, we're going to replace patterns of selfishness with compassionate patterns, right? So if you've been selfish before, you're going to learn how to be compassionate. You're going to switch it up. If you've had patterns of hatred, you're going to learn to have patterns that are kind and do acts of kindness towards others. If you had patterns where you are prideful and you tend to walk out in pride, you're going to have acts of humility. How can I walk in humility today and replace those prideful patterns in my life? I'm going to replace or switch it up, the impatient patterns with patient ones. You know, you're sitting in traffic, right? And the light turned green and the person in front of you is not moving. You're like, what's the deal? You know, what's going on? Are you praying in tongues? Are you in the word? What's going on? But the light is green. That we would switch it up from impatient patterns to patterns that are more patient, right? And you know, funny thing about this very thing happened to me after I practiced this on Friday. I had the opportunity to wait behind someone and the Lord said, look, this message is for you, Ted, because you know, I was growing impatient. I was like, surely this guy sees that it's a green light. But learning how to be patient, replacing those impatient patterns with patience. Amen. Up from accusing and blaming to forgiving others. Think about it. This is Zacchaeus had an encounter with Christ, and he began to switch up the patterns of his life from sinful patterns that were not Christ-honoring to more honoring, you know, Christ-honoring patterns in his life. So must we switch it up. Amen. We have to switch it up. You have to switch it up. So whether it's your music, whether it's your TV programs, whether it's your friends, whatever it is, only the Lord and you know that. And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to you. That He would reveal to you what areas in your life that you need to switch it up. You know, as I'm trying to be a better runner, trying to get a faster time, I'm realizing I'm having to switch up some things. If I wanna hit that 21 minute, you know, 5K, then I need to do some things. I need to add some sprints in my life. I need to add a longer distance in my life rather than doing the same thing over and over again. It's so funny because I expect myself just to automatically and suddenly reach that mark without changing up anything in my life. And it's not going to happen if I continue to do the same thing over and over again. I'm going to get the same results over and over again. It's not just going to magically happen. But if I want that time to go down, if I want a difference to be made, I got to switch it up. I got to do what's required of me as a runner. Amen. So hopefully this message has spoken to you, and there are some things in your life you just need to switch it up. We're going to bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes. And we're just going to ask the Lord to reveal it to our hearts this morning. God, we just thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. And just as you have pursued after Zacchaeus, you pursue after us. And Lord, that's what we need. We need an encounter with you. We need the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, to overcome those sinful patterns in our lives. God, we cannot do it on our own strength. We cannot do it by our own effort. We need you, Lord Jesus. we pray that you would show us, that you would reveal to us those areas in our lives which have not been pleasing. But then we would begin to fill it up and switch it up to the things of God. Show us, Lord, and we pray that you would give us the strength, Lord, to switch it up. We give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today, in Jesus' name. And let God's people say, amen.
Amen, amen. As you walk out the doors, grab a tree, be like Zacchaeus, and if you used to steal, give, and do all the things that Pastor Ted just said, switch it up. We do have a winner for today, and that is number 304-7967. See you Wednesday for prayer and praise right here at church. And so again, that's 304-7967. Make sure we grab all that for you.